All right, for talk on Spill Josh.
How Keith, we're on Twitter.
How are you now?
Good, Keith. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I just found out we're on Twitter.
I did too, very loudly. So we are on Twitter.
That's confirmed. @PTO_podcast. Preferred Talk Ons is literally one character too long to make Preferred Talk Ons the entire handle. So PTO_podcast.
That's easy enough.
That should be fine.
I think so. Well, I mean, all one follower that we have, me.
I'm going to create a Twitter account just to follow us.
Yeah.
You got that blue check mark yet?
Not yet.
No.
I put in the verified application, though, so three to five business days.
I also don't have a Twitter, so I will not be following, unfortunately.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'll get my whole family to
follow. I feel like Keith on Twitter would be really funny. He would go silent for like 6 months, and then he'd see something that would piss him off, and then send like five tweets in a row.
Or he'd just be the drunk Twitter guy.
That's what you were, and that's why you don't have Twitter anymore.
That's why I don't have Twitter anymore.
Yeah. Can we hear that story real quick?
I was just mean to John Beilein.
Like Josh was mean to John Beilein.
Nicest person ever.
John Beilein.
But to be fair, after I got mad at him, their defense did get a lot better.
What? It's not like he heard you or cared.
You don't know that? I tweeted at him.
He tagged John Beilein.
I tagged John Beilein. So he may have read that tweet and been like, he's right. I don't know.
And the rest is history.
So
yeah.
And then Josh tweeted at him again. Now he's the coach of the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't see the point of it, truthfully.
Well, it's a horrible social media platform. But, yeah. I mean, if we want to make this podcast remotely successful, that's where we got to go.
All right.
Well, especially for college football. It is it's a
tough game.
It's a tough spot for college football. But we're on Twitter.
We are on Twitter.
Subscribe and follow.
You can also follow me on Twitter @BillGetchman.
Okay.
Well, he is the only one, so he can plug himself. That's fine.
Okay.
Is it still Bill Time Commissioner?
No, I'm now Well, my handle has always been Bill Getchman, but my name that you see appear is now Summer Fun Haver.
Oh, no.
And Feeve, shout out UConn Feeve. His is Summer LeFever.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty good.
God. News and notes. Bill, you want to start us off?
Yeah. UCF quarterback Daryl Mack broke his ankle in non-football activity.
Done.
I haven't exactly seen what that non-football activity was, but he's done. So Brandon Wimbush is the guy in Orlando now.
Well, I mean, I guess that clears up their QB battle.
It does. It also significantly hurts their chance at a dynasty of two championships in three seasons.
Don't count them out.
I'm not counting them out. I'm just...
I've counted them out every season, so that's fine. Puka Williams.
Back
with the team. He will miss the first game, though.
Indiana State.
Yeah.
Well, which actually, honestly, for fantasy purposes, that game was probably going to be one where he could get a lot of points. So
that, and you can also look at him as having three bye weeks.
That's true. That's true.
Because he's not going to play. So, I mean,
right.
We'll see how that plays out.
In various bowl game.
Yeah, in various drafts. However,
Josh is going to a bowl game take.
Kansas is back.
Now that he's back and he's their only weapon, he should be available pretty late. I think he'd be good value in third, maybe fourth round. I mean, you're going to stash him for just a week.
Assuming he doesn't get arrested again.
I don't think that's likely. I think he had one scare and this is kind of his only route, so... Anything else?
Oh.
No.
That's all I got. How many days away are we? 40? Are we in the 40s now?
You're the countdown guy.
Yeah, we're in the 40s. Last time we recorded, it was 52, I think. So
that would be.
I don't know off the top of my head, but yeah.
We're getting close.
Can't wait. I just really can't wait for baseball season to be over.
It's that time of year where I start figuring out the meal I'm going to have on that first Saturday. Like what kind of beer I'm getting, what kind of food. Because I'm not going to move. Like, I'm going to be just watch football.
Oh, yeah.
The whole day. So it's like, I've already think about what I'm going to eat.
Are we not watching it together?
Yeah. Then what are we going to eat?
Oh, okay. So you said this
it
singly.
Matters now.
Okay. So you didn't use a plural on that. So I was trying to just double check. I like baseball. Don't get me wrong. But just working in it is a slog. And
it's tiring.
It's kind of ruins the summer. But
I was watching the MLB All-Star game a couple days ago. And there was an ad for Fox's kind of revamped Saturday morning coverage. I was literally like pumping my fists. I was shaking Jamie in the most loving way possible, by the way.
And who is Jamie?
My wife.
Okay.
shout out wife, and she was like, why are you so excited? What the hell has come over you right now? And I said, you just don't get it. It's week one. It's so exciting.
I mean,
but then
Urban, do you watch the Fox pregame show?
No.
Everyone just watches College Game Day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't even watch that.
Well, I watched Premier League soccer until like 11 o'clock. Yeah. And then I go have breakfast, do whatever I need to do before I sit my ass on the couch for 14 straight hours of college football.
It's a productive Saturday.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, cool. That's it. We're going to move on to our question of the day, which is top 10 current football coaches. And traditionally, we're going to start with Josh.
Please Josh, go 10 to 1, Josh.
Is your
10 to 1. I'll go 10 to 1.
I think our 1 and 2s are all the same.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to be much different. I'm going to start with my honorable mentions. I have three. I went with Kurt Ferentz out of Iowa just because he has been there since World War II. He's consistent every year. And I think Kinnick Stadium is one of the toughest places to play, especially at night.
But that's not Kurt Ferentz's doing.
It's the environment. Well, Iowa, he's
part of the culture. No.
And then you can go. I got the two Mikes as honorable mentions. Could have been top 10 coaches, Mike Gundy and Mike Leach. The reason, one being, if I was a recruit, those are guys I would want to play for. I think that not only would be a lot of fun, I think that they're great coaches, obviously, not at, you know, power teams, but at teams who, sorry about your
Careful.
State, sorry.
Sorry, I don't have Mike Gundy in my top 10, so.
But in order for them to, I think.
Big fan.
If Gundy can start beating Washington consistently, or not Gundy. Gundy.
if Gundy
can beat Oklahoma and Leach can beat Washington, they can move up into the top.
There we go.
Top 10. So speaking of my top 10, number 10, Iowa State, Matt Campbell. I really like him. His name seems to be popping up more and more with open coaching vacancies in the offseason. Number 9, I put Mark D'Antonio out of Michigan State University. They have a great defense year after year, and he is great at developing the recruits that they get. You know, they're not a school that gets the 4 or 5 star guys consistently. You know, they bring two, three stars, and he consistently develops them on defense. I won't say that so much about offense, but number 8, Kyle Whittingham. I know Bill is high on nice. Him. Utah, great in bowl games. And I think if he ever does decide to leave Utah, whoever gets him, he'll be one hell of a coach there. Number 7, Chris Peterson, Washington. A lot of it's based on Boise State. He's done a lot at Washington, obviously, but it's still, to me, the Pac-12. It's whatever with the Pac-12. I'm not high on it. But I do like him as a coach. I think he's great. Number 6, Pat Fitzgerald, Northwestern.
6? Wow.
Well, I'm going to read the stat.
Okay.
This is according to Saturdays Down South. They were that's where I found the info.
Okay.
So this is pre-Fitzgerald, 1953 to 2005, and with Fitzgerald, so 2006 to the present. Pre-Fitzgerald, 10-win seasons, they had 1. With Fitzgerald, they've had 3. Top 25 finishes before him, 2, 4 with him. 5 bowl bursts before him, 9 with him. 0 bowl victories before him, 4 with him. And that's a Northwestern program.
And they were in the conference title last year.
Yes. And that's not a power, you know, Northwestern's not a power team. They're not a team that you think is going to win the Big Ten. Yeah, he is someone who won't leave, but if he ever did, he was one hell of a coach.
Packers were throwing his name around.
Yeah.
To come
I think
their
that's the only
thing.
Well, he's not going to coach another college team.
You think so?
I don't think he'll coach another college team. I think especially he'd be for the NFL.
He's a Northwestern grad and is a Northwestern legend. He was like their captain for a couple of years, and I think that's a good point. He probably won't coach another college team.
I honestly don't think he's going to go on to do anything else. I think he's built
a lifer.
I think he's a lifer. I think he's built a home there. And why leave?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're finishing doing consistently well, especially in the Big Ten, I don't see a reason why you would leave for another job. Because we've seen many coaches go to the NFL do horribly, and we've seen NFL coaches come back to the college level and do terribly as well. It's just two different games at this point.
Yeah. And then going on to number 5, Jimbo, A&M, won a national championship at Florida State. Had a pretty good year, first year at A&M, considering, especially.
And they do not have an easy schedule this year.
They do not.
I learned that one.
So we'll see how this year goes. But Kirby Smart, Georgia, I think that's obvious. Back-to-back SEC championship games, national title game that they lost. But still, Georgia is consistent now. Georgia's good. Top five team. Three is Lincoln Riley. Two Heisman Trophy winners. Two Big 12 championships. Two playoff appearances in 2 years. About to be three Heisman Trophy winners. Number two and number one are interchangeable based on the year. So going into this year, I'm putting two at Nick Saban. Ooh. And one, obviously, Jim Harbaugh is my number two. Dabo's number one. And I think those two can change year by year. I'm just putting Dabo number one this year just because of the national championship game last year. And the way Clemson basically just curb stomped Alabama on both sides of the balls. But
curb stomped.
Stomped. Okay. But those two are really interchangeable. So those are my top 10.
Pretty much. Me next?
That's you next.
All right. I struggled with making a definitive list, but the majority of my rankings are predicated on results relative to expectations. So, you know, as tempting as it was to put like Jeff Munkin in there, mm-hmm. Army head coach, like winning 11 games at Army is incredible, but I don't want to put him as a top 10 coach because that's almost too much of a novelty.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I also had tried to stay away from too many really young, hot name coaches. Like as much as I love Seth Luttrell, don't know if he's a top 10 coach just yet. So without further ado, number 10, Gary Patterson, TCU. He's been there 20 years. He's won 10 games, like 13 of those years. He switched conferences four times and has still had sustained success. Last couple of years have been rough, but also beat the John Clay Wisconsin team in the Rose Bowl.
Oh.
Not many people can say that.
Andy Dalton.
That's right. That's right. And I like that Patterson adjusts his style of coaching to the where college football is going as well.
And I think just the fact that he can win in the postseason with Andy Dalton is pretty cool.
Because the Bengals clearly cannot. Number nine is Dan Mullen. If you can be ranked number one at Mississippi State ever, you deserve to be in the top 10. Also had an amazing first year at Florida. I think he's going to do really well there. Number eight, Brian Kelly. Killed a kid. Number seven. It's not funny, Josh. Number seven is Mike Leach. Opposite of Gary Patterson, he does not adjust, but he develops. Last year, Washington State was supposed to be rebuilding, and they won 11 games and had one of the best, most fun watch quarterbacks in the country. Number six is Lincoln Riley. I had him outside the top five because essentially he was handed the keys to the Corvette. Now, Keith and I talked about this before we recorded. That doesn't mean that he doesn't drive the Corvette well. Winning 24 games in 2 years is no fluke. So he obviously knows what he's doing offensively. Mm-hmm. Defensively, shit show. We know that. But you know what you get when you're playing Oklahoma. I loved quarters two through four of the national semifinal last year after they were down 28-0. They actually played really well. So he can adjust. He can make the moves that he needs to make. I just think after 2 years, I don't want to put him top five just yet. So number five for me is Jimbo Fisher. He's one of five active head coaches with a national title. He's won nine or more games every year he's been in coaching other than the year he just gave up with Florida State. So that's impressive in itself. Kirby Smart is my number four. I know I just said I don't want Lincoln Riley in the top five because it's too soon, but Kirby Smart's going into year four. Two top 10 finishes so far, SEC title, back-to-back years, national championship appearance.
Would you say Jake Fromm has a lot to do with that?
No.
Absolutely.
Nope. That's Kirby Smart. You could plug me in at quarterback and you won't miss much with Jake Fromm.
11 bet.
Well, how do you go about doing that?
I would love to see it. I would love to see it.
Try to make you get the
head. Just tweet at Kirby Smart enough. I would have had him higher, but he wears a visor, so can't do that.
Oh, my God.
Number three.
Power visor. We know that.
Number three is Chris Peterson at Washington. I had him this high up. A lot of it was because of what he did at Boise State. I think he redefined life in the mid-majors for football, and he's done the same at Washington. He's won two of the last three Pac-12 titles. I know, like Josh said, it's the Pac-12. So it is what it is. Also a college football appearance. Damn near won the Rose Bowl last year, and he's also got a bunch of he pushes out like 5-6 NFL prospects every year at this point too. Mm-hmm. So that's impressive in itself. And like, it's Washington. People forget that they're even a school, you know, they play at 10 PM half the time. So the fact that he's made Washington relevant in this landscape is impressive in itself. Number two is Dabo and number one is Saban. I kind of struggled a little bit, but Saban is number one for me because he's won so many titles and has had his staff poached year after year and is still in the national title game. Like, he's lost like four of his coaches and assistants just last year alone, and they're still going to be one of the best three teams in the country. So that's my list. Saban, definitive number one. Okay. Go for Dabo.
Good. Well,
thanks.
My list, like the top five are pretty much like, okay, this is what they've done consistently. And my bottom five are essentially coaches I just really like and would like to play for. Not necessarily tied to, you know, success or anything like that. Just coaches that I personally like. So my honorable mention, just first off, is Matt Rhule. Reviving that program, I think, and making them competitive again is just well done on him. And
you have to have a lot of charisma to be able to sell Baylor after that.
Yeah. To have that program not die, I just think, right, is a testament to what he can do. And what is this, his third year there?
Fourth year.
Is it his fourth year?
I think.
So, I mean, he has a history of just saying, give me 4 years. I think it's his third.
Carry on. Okay. I'll look it up.
Number 10, Mike Gundy. Hare has to make it on the top 10 list. Number 9, Kirk Ferentz, for the reasons that Josh pointed out. Number 8, Mike Leach.
Yeah, third year for Matt Rhule.
Okay. Number 7, Matt Campbell. Number 6, Gary Patterson. Number 5, Jimbo Fisher. Number 4, Brian Kelly. So typically, there's a lot of reasons to hate Notre Dame, but I think to steer a traditional program like that towards a more consistent, you know, today's game is, again, a testament to his coaching ability. And it's not me just being a homer, but because he coached at CMU, but you know, I think he's a good
coach. Grand Valley State. Yeah.
And GVSU. Correct. Number 3 is Chris Peterson. And obviously number 1 and 2, Dabo and Saban. Dabo number 1.
Interesting. So you guys, both of you had Dabo 1 and I had Saban 1.
Well, here's my reasoning for that.
Is that because he dethroned Saban?
Because he took his own system and beat him with it and showed him, it doesn't matter what you've built. I can take your same thing and make it not as crazy and beat you with an ACC team.
Right.
So good point. Beating somebody from, especially with a team that's not a traditional, like, there's not a football mecca on the East Coast. The South is where you think of.
Duke.
The South of is where you think of
the birthplace of college football,
the big, you know, the yeah, fertile grounds of football.
Yeah.
So to take an ACC team and wipe the floor with them, I think is a testament to his coaching.
It's gotta be so easy to recruit at Clemson though.
Oh, absolutely. Especially on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get a call from Brent Venables and you say, hey, come play for Clemson. You're like, oh, well, guess that decision made
you're
up for me.
You're going to play in an ACC championship game. You're going to play in the college football playoff.
You're going to play.
Probably going to win a national championship.
You're going to play in nothing but warm weather, unless you get screwed and have to go to Boston College in November.
Yeah,
the girls are cute down there. I'm sure,
just cute.
It's a southern.
It's a southern.
We
thing.
Respect women on this podcast, Josh.
Yeah, it's quite misogynist of you.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay,
I didn't pick Hope College for the girls, although I did meet my wife there. Shout out, wife, part two. Can I another note on Notre Dame?
Yes.
I know I put Brian Kelly lower, but the weird academic standards that they keep with the athletic standards make it difficult. True. They have a lot of history, obviously. But I also think Brian Kelly has managed to fight through a lot of chances where the program could have really gone off the rails. That year they went 4-8. I know they were one of the unluckiest 4-8 teams. But, you know, they easily could have lost a lot of it.
Yeah.
And then, what do you know, 2 years later, 1 year, I don't even, what is it? 1 or 2 years later, they were ranked second.
Yeah.
And flirting with the national championship, beat the absolute crap out of Miami.
Yeah.
That was it.
Well, Notre Dame beat Miami that
year, right? Or do I have that backwards? Remember which game I'm talking about?
Yes.
Regular season?
Yeah, it was regular season. It was late in the year. Miami.
Is that the year Miami was undefeated?
Yeah, I think Miami was 10-0 at that point.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame just beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was in Miami, too,
wasn't it? Yeah, it was at the Orange Bowl, and that place was going crazy, and it was silent 15 minutes
in.
Yeah. Yeah. So just stuff like that. Like, he obviously, you know, I wouldn't want to play for him, but
no.
You gotta admit that he's done a good job there.
Fuck, I wouldn't want to work for him.
Right.
Yeah, seriously. You're putting life in your own hands at that point.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at Notre Dame, you're constantly under the microscope, too.
Yeah, even though it's a private school, there's a lot of things that he has to deal with that public schools don't.
I mean, they're on their own friggin' network.
Yeah. Which I think is going to change because...
Oh, yeah, of course. It's bound to.
Yes.
And here we go. Here's a question. Do you think when the next grant of rights deal comes up in, what was it, 2025 or something, do you think Notre Dame will join a conference?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to have a choice to stay independent. No. Because the way
it hurts you too much.
Yeah, the way college football is going... To be independent, you have to go 12-0.
Well, here's the key. The
and even then, if there's a 13-0 SEC team or another, like, what did they get last year? Were they a three seed? They were the three seed.
Yeah, they were the three seed playing Clemson.
Yeah, Clemson conference championship. You got Alabama conference championship. Both of those teams going 13-0. You know, you're going to get three seed, and then you're matched up right away.
Right.
Clemson.
Yeah, I mean. Here's the other key is none of their other sports are independent.
Right, which is the weird thing. They're ACC in basketball.
Yeah.
They're going
to have to consolidate somewhere.
Right.
And I just think it's becoming too much of a burden. And especially when all of these different conferences are scheduling harder and may not necessarily want to contend with the Notre Dame if they don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they say, well, our conference plays enough. We don't have to schedule Notre Dame.
Right.
So then what? You're picking on the Centrals and you're picking on the teams that you can pay off.
I mean, yeah, they got
to come beat them up.
Two of the three service academies this year. And, you know, Army's a really good team this year, but I don't think they're going to stand a chance against Notre Dame.
Right.
What do you think? They go to the ACC?
I don't know.
Unless the Big East gets revamped.
I could see him sneaking to the Big Ten, too.
Yeah. I would say, I think they would choose the Big Ten merely for the location.
Yeah. And it just makes sense. They have a longstanding, obviously, the rivalry with Michigan. They play Michigan State a lot. I would love to see more Notre Dame-Ohio State matchups,
mm-hmm.
just the history alone.
Yeah.
I think they'd pair well playing against Wisconsin.
And they can still have the option of having protected rivalry. So they can still stay.
USC.
Hey, USC. Conference.
Right. Stanford.
Every year. Hey, Stanford. Every year. You know, here's what we're going to do. They can still have those options. It's just...
And their schedule this year, it goes back and forth between, like, okay, this is a joke, and, like, holy shit, how do you navigate this? They start at Louisville, bye week, New Mexico. Okay, easiest two of the three games that you can get.
Right.
At Georgia, have fun with that one. Virginia, Bowling Green, USC, bye week. At Michigan, Virginia Tech, at Duke, Navy, Boston College, at Stanford.
Yeah, that schedule's not easy.
It's either you play garbage teams or like teams that are going to be super difficult.
Right.
It's going to be wild. So they have their work cut out for them if they want to go back to the playoff. And being independent is just starting to hurt at this point.
They can't go 11-1 and get in.
Right.
They have to win every single one of those games.
Unless the one is Georgia. And Georgia ends up they're going to end up in the SEC title game again. So, but then so many other factors have to play into their favor.
Because Alabama's going to be there.
Right.
Clemson's going to be there.
Georgia
will
there.
Get in over them. Especially
you're going to have Oklahoma lose two games. You're going to have Ohio State lose two games. You're going to have, I mean, the Pac-12 champion probably won't be better than Notre Dame, but sorry, I just had Chris Peterson as my third best coach, but still.
Central Florida. Let's not forget the 2017 national champions.
Yeah, I think And just from a financial standpoint, the independents are probably going to die here shortly because you're telling me UMass, New Mexico State, Liberty can afford to fly all across the country week after week?
Not UMass.
Yeah. So I think they're in a couple years, maybe it'll be BYU, Army, and Notre Dame, and that's it. And then someone's hand is going to be forced.
Yeah. All right. Let's
check back in 7 years.
We'll still be here.
Let's take a quick break here before we get in the next part of the podcast.
And we're back. Does anybody feel a little chilly in here? Because I think there's a draft.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
To lead into our next segment.
Thanks for listening.
We're going to be done for the day. Yeah, I think that just effectively killed this podcast. I'm glad you took it yourself, Bill, because
I'm very proud of that one. Good. Our exercise for the day is a live mock draft, but we are on separate teams today instead of full teams.
Correct. So we are all going to be drafting separately. It's going to be a 12-team mock draft following the basic rules, two QBs, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, defense, and a super flex, as well as your bench spots. So we're going to be drafting in the following order. So Josh will be 7th, I will be 9th, and Bill will be 10th.
Rigged.
Bill is upset that he's 10th, even though I tried to compliment him and said it's probably the most unique position, and therefore we're going to need his expertise to kind of navigate that.
He did that on purpose.
Yeah.
He's getting back for me, back at me for the World Cup. Yep.
Because you had USA and Japan.
Okay, yeah, we did a random drawing at work of the World Cup
Bill's
teams.
Bill's idea.
And
he also drew the teams and held the teams. And
I picked 7th out of 8 people, and I drew the USA, and everyone said I rigged it.
Cut the pieces that we used to pick the teams, which was kind of strange because everyone else was kind of getting low teams, and suddenly Bill pulls out USA.
For Matt, who got Canada and Germany.
Big fucking surprise. USA won.
All right, let's carry on. Let's carry on. Right. I'll win this thing, too, and prove that it's not racist.
All right. So let's get to the mock draft room here. We will have 30 minutes per pick.
30 minutes?
For discussion. I'm just saying.
This is going to be a long podcast.
Yeah, settle in.
We're not going.
I hope you're on a road trip to the Grand Canyon.
Jesus. And all the computers going to auto pick, and we'll just have time to discuss our picks and what our mentality is going into the next one, especially when it gets tough. All right. So without further ado, we are going to resume. So no surprise, right off the board, it goes Derek King, Tua, Sam Ellinger, Cole McDonald, Nathan Rourke, and Bryce Perkins. So Josh, you are up with the 7th pick.
I'm going to go running back, actually, I think. A lot of the good quarterbacks got taken off the board here fairly early. So I'm actually going to go Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin.
Okay. All right. Jonathan Taylor. So after Jonathan, Jordan Love is taken off the board. So I'm in an interesting spot. Because obviously you left Travis.
I did.
Kellen Mond's
Travis
there.
Who?
Etienne.
Etienne.
Damn it, Keith.
Shout out to Jesse Goldberg Strass, my official voice.
Strasser. You can't even pronounce your pronunciation
Jesse,
coaches
I'm sorry.
Right.
Shout out to my pronunciation coach, Jesse. Next, he's going to teach me his last name.
Oh my gosh.
Oh. I don't know if I've ever called him by his full name.
Jesus, that just tickled me pink. I spit water all over my foot.
Josh, stay hot.
Yeah, your 30 seconds is running low, Keith. You got to.
Okay. So I'm going to go quarterback, even though Travis is on the board. I think I'm just going to go with Kellen Mond with that offense. So that's who I'm going to pick first. Bill?
Give me Etienne. Done.
All right.
Game over.
You get 2 picks.
Well, I got to wait, but.
Snake draft, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's 12 teams.
Oh, I thought there was 10.
Okay, Bill, I guess you're picking 11th. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Even rigged even more. All right, I'd like to go quarterback here. Can you filter to quarterbacks for me, please?
Yeah. So you want to tell them who went in front real quick?
Yeah, before after I picked Etienne, Mason Fine, and Eno Benjamin. So only not too many running backs off the board so far. All right, available quarterbacks, Caleb Evans, Mackenzie Milton. He's available, but he's not that available. Justin Herbert. You know what?
What?
It's a tough one.
I know.
Because I have to make this pick count because I'm also going to sit and wait for a very long time. I'll take Herbert.
Shoot.
You think he was still going to be accused?
I don't know, maybe.
You thought he was going to come back to you, really?
I think I'm 3 picks away.
All right. So after Justin Herbert, Caleb Evans went off the board. There's nobody I'm super in love with. As far as QBs go, I mean, Adrian Martinez, Trevor Lawrence is on the board. I just don't know how both of those are going to do.
Keith, I know who you should draft, but I don't want to say it.
Yeah.
Did you say Jake Fromm?
He's available.
Jake Fromm is available and probably should be available through round 10.
Well, tell me, if you were in my position, who would you draft?
I don't want to tell you because I want to save him for my team if he's still there.
Okay, he's probably not going to be there. So I'm just going to go with Michael Warren, the second out of Cincinnati.
Oh, I always thought he was the third. It's probably the best that we don't draft Michael Warren the third. He'd be a baby. He probably won't rush for many yards.
He's still a twinkle in that eye. So I really like him this year. I think he's doing well.
Okay, Milton, to be McKenzie fair, Team 6 nice. Just took McKenzie. Team 7 just took McKenzie Milton.
Team 7's an idiot.
I'm up. Can you go to running backs real quick? Okay. I want to check something before I make my pick. I'm torn right now.
Uh-oh. What's going through your mind.
Well, I don't know if I want to go Patrick Taylor Jr. or if I want to grab a quarterback. I know there's going to be a couple quarterbacks later on.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. Trevor Lawrence, sophomore out of Clemson.
No relation to Jennifer Lawrence.
Do you know that?
No, so, not for sure.
Charlie Brewer, then Alabama's defense. Adrian Martinez is off the board. Miami's defense. Zach Thomas, then Felipe Franks, Rondale Moore went, KJ Costello, Joe Burrow, UAB's defense, all right, Ryan Wills, Appalachian State's defense, okay, and it's back to you, Josh.
Can you give me a look at the receivers real quick?
What's the receivers already?
Okay. I don't know. That's what I want to see. Yeah, give me Tylan Wallace.
That was easy.
Okay.
I told you, I love that guy. I'm very high on him.
Okay.
I want him to be – I don't want to miss out.
Okay. So then after that, Kelvin Hopkins Jr. So I have a quarterback and a running back. I mean, Jerry Jeudy is right there. As well as Laviska Shenault. Very high on him, but I think – I just think there's better people available.
Cleo Tate.
There you go. Jake Fromm's still available. You didn't draft him last round. You said you were a fan.
That's true.
When are you actually going to take Jake Fromm?
He's a safe option. Jesus. let's see. Anybody I'm really liking? Still available. Oops. Where'd it go? There it is. Well,
this is some great entertaining podcast.
Well, you guys can also talk. You don't have to wait on me. You guys can also talk. You know, there's not.
How's your day today, Bill?
Not too bad. How about you, Josh?
Oh, it was pretty good. We got a lot done.
Yeah.
It's a busy day getting ready for everything we have coming up this next week.
Yeah.
You guys obviously are going to be busy Saturday.
Yep.
I'm going to come to the game, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I got some friends coming up.
I look forward to it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Keith still has not made his pick.
I'm still.
Keith is taking up the entire half hour.
I could have sworn somebody said 30 seconds.
30 minutes. So we have time.
30 minutes for the entire draft. And Keith is taking all of that with this pick here.
Oh, my God.
So you have quarterback, running back. Which position are you targeting?
Well, I still think there's a deep quarterback pool. And obviously, I only have to wait 6 picks for some of them to come back to me. So I'm thinking of a running back here. And I think I want to go... So there's two in my mind. It's CJ Verdell from Oregon or DeAndre Swift.
Out of Georgia. And then you can draft Jake Fromm later and get the double points when he passes to him for 6 yards of carry or 6 yards of reception.
6 yards of carry.
Jake Fromm gets 6 yards of carry. I'll eat a whole lemon. A whole lemon.
I'm going to go ahead and get DeAndre Swift. My running back slot.
All right.
Bill?
So Jake Bentley, quarterback from South Carolina, goes off the board with my next pick. Give me Cole McDonald out of Hawaii.
Isn't he taken already?
Yeah, I was pretty sure he's
taken. He was taken. He's like a top 5
pick. Are
you
sure?
He's a top 5 pick.
He went so quickly, I missed it.
Yeah.
Hang on.
I'm pretty positive.
Okay.
Team 5 took him. Team 4 took him.
Yeah, Team 4 took him.
Don't give me Cole McDonald because he was gone.
He was, fourth overall pick.
I was going to say.
There's no way he's still available. I would have taken him.
I'm getting a steal right here if he was still there. All right, so I currently sit at, can you go to my team who I have? I just have quarterback running back right now, but I just want to see for show. Justin Herbert, Travis Etienne. Good start.
Great start.
Can you filter to running backs, please?
Absolutely.
I think I want to fill in another running back here because I do have another pick pretty quickly. So I will pick Spencer Brown out of UAB.
Okay.
Big Spencer Brown guy, as you all know. And then I'll wait patiently for my next pick. After Spencer Brown goes
Desmond Ridder
and Boise State's defense. Yeah, okay. Can you filter to run your quarterbacks again, please?
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting real aggressive with this first couple picks here. Oh, there's not a lot of great guys available.
Oh, Jake Fromm's there.
Steven Montez. That's your boy.
Yeah, Steven Montez, great. Part of me wants to take Jalen Hurts here. Part of me also wants to take Brock Purdy here. I just don't know if they're good value at the fourth round right now. He's swinging to wide receivers. I should probably take my first wide receiver right now. Let's see. Give me Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Judy's still there.
Good value
that's
for the fourth
value.
Round.
Yeah,
I'm happy with those first four picks so far.
Can you go to my team since I have the next pick?
Next up was Shea Wirtz from
My bad. Snake draft.
You keep forgetting it's snake draft.
Now Keith's back on the board. He's got quarterback, running back. He's currently sifting through wide receivers as we speak right now.
I like him too much, and I hate tilting this early, but I think if I don't get him here, he's not going to come back to me. So I'm going to go with Laviska Shenault Jr.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good fourth-round pick.
It's the fourth round. Yes,
it's your first wide receiver, too.
First wide receiver. I really like his potential this year.
Yeah.
Because
he had amazing numbers and only played like seven, ten games. He missed a lot of time.
Yeah, he missed time, and this year he's coming back. He's going to be great. So after that, when California's defense, Josh.
Can you go to running backs for me?
Okay.
And I am going to take Patrick Taylor Jr.
Cal defense just went off the board.
Yep. Patrick
Taylor Jr.
Who still managed to get almost 1,200 yards with
as a number two guy
on the same team.
Yeah.
Right.
It's just bonkers.
All right. So we have a long wait here. It's Brady White, Peyton
Ramsey,
Steven Montez, Khalil Tate's off the board in the fourth round.
It's too bad for you.
Sorry,
Temple's
Keith.
Defense, Fresno State's defense, Ian Book's off the board, James Procci, Elijah Mitchell, DeAndre Torrey, Keyshawn Vaughn is off, Jamar Jefferson, and it is back.
Give me CeeDee Lamb, please.
Ooh, it's a good pick.
Yeah.
Especially for fifth round.
Yeah, I would like. So now I have, well, we're on Keith's team, but I have two receivers, two running backs, and a quarterback. So far.
Yeah, let's go to your team.
Trevor Lawrence, Jonathan Taylor, Patrick Taylor Jr., Tylan Wallace, and now I'm taking CeeDee Lamb.
Are there any wide receivers last name Taylor you could pick? Just make your whole team.
Oh, that's a good.
CeeDee Lamb going to Josh.
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure there is somewhere.
After CeeDee Lamb went Joshua Kelly. I am back on the board, and everyone knows what that means.
Jake Fromm.
No, Jake Fromm.
Look at, he's the first best position player available, according to this.
That's true. He's one step below the Kentucky defense. Congrats, Keith.
Hey, he's above Shea Patterson, so.
We're not.
Jeez, there's still so many good running backs.
Yeah, that's
still so many.
I actually think I know who I'd go for right now.
Honestly, there are like 12 running backs on the board that could easily get 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So I know where I have to go next.
Yeah. See, wide receivers, there's not anybody to me that stands out right away. It might be time to take a second QB here.
That's where I think I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Fifth round pick. I'm going to try to get my second quarterback if I can.
Yeah.
That is also the direction I'm going. So let's see who we all take.
Okay. So there's a couple of interesting choices here. Jake Fromm, the very safe option. That's
very highly safe ranked option.
Very safe.
We also have Shea Patterson, Blake Barnett, Nate Stanley, James Morgan.
Let's not forget the transfers.
Woody Barrett, Marcus Childers,
Justin Fields, Jalen Hurts.
That's where you guys are going to go.
I was going to take Jake Fromm.
All right. I'm going to stop the Jake Fromm hate.
Yeah.
He is a good quarterback, not for fantasy.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, he only had 30 touchdowns and 2,700 yards passing. Not great.
2,700?
Yeah.
200 yards a game.
Is Sam Ehlinger still on the board?
No.
I didn't see him go.
He was like a pick.
He was?
Yeah. Okay. He was, to you, what Cole McDonald was to me. They just went so quickly. I missed it.
Yeah, even though I said him out loud, everybody missed it.
I'm focusing on my own pick, Keith. Something you should do.
Yeah. See, I was thinking about
either reason this draft took 4 hours last year.
No, it was not.
Mostly because Keith can't type the name of the player that he wants.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Jalen Hurts.
Oh, you suck. Even though Bill's probably gonna take him.
Yeah.
Not the case. I'm taking Justin Fields.
This other guy I was going to take, so that's what I'm mad at this point.
No, he was
Joshua Fields?
No, Justin Fields.
Yeah, he said Josh.
Oh, damn it. You almost got me. I don't know what to expect, but I think his ceiling is high enough. He's worth a risk at this point in the draft.
I think just Jalen Hurts falling that far, I'm just going to pick him up. Partially so you can't.
Oh! Jake Fromm's
off the board.
Oh, that's too bad.
Tyler Johnson from Minnesota just went. Can you filter the wide receivers for me, please?
Absolutely, I can.
So I am currently sitting I don't even remember anymore.
Let's go back to your team.
Yeah, so
you can swing
over to Perm Edwards if you don't mind. Justin Herbert, Justin Fields. Ooh, I have the all Justin team. Travis Etienne, Spencer Brown, Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, how are you feeling so far?
I like my team a lot.
Yeah.
I like my team a lot.
Very good.
It's all right.
A lot. Okay, I'm definitely going wide receiver here, but which one to pick? I could go with the value pick, Cedric Bird from Hawaii. He's obviously going to get a lot of touches. Rico Bussey was also in my top 10 for North Texas this year. DeMonte Coxie is going to be the number one in Memphis. Oh my gosh. I'm like a wealth of riches right now. I'm not picking Jalen Reagor. Don't worry.
Oh, you want Jalen Reagor?
No. No Jalen Reagor, please. Jeez. Give me Cedric Bird. Please.
Cedric Bird, that's a good choice.
Thank you.
From Hawaii.
That's a very good choice.
The official fish of Hawaii is Humuhumunukunukapua.
So then it goes Jalen Reagor, and back to me. I'm sticking on the wide receiver train because
I think this is the time where we're going to see the drop off between really productive wide receivers and like third or fourth.
There's going to be a teardrop definitely within the next round.
Yeah.
And so thinking of that, I like Marquez Stevenson this year. I think Houston's going to do very well.
Derek King, the guard. Yeah.
He, especially being a junior, I think that's going to be one of his first choices. So that is where I'm drafting him.
And we know that Dana Holgorsen loves wide receivers.
Yep. So CJ Verdell went. Josh is now up to you. Let's swing to your team.
Sticking with the receivers, since you guys took the good transfer quarterbacks. I would like.
I find it interesting that you don't want to go your second quarterback right now.
Yeah.
I just think
because your second quarterback
everyone has two quarterbacks at one point. And now. So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot off the board until my next turn.
But is your third wide receiver going to be that much better to make up the gap that's bad as your second quarterback is going
to
be?
We'll find out. Go to quarterbacks real quick.
I think a lot of the best QBs are
I also
gone.
Don't think the teams that are picking ahead of me are going to take quarterbacks. The best one available is Shea Patterson, according to this. And
Mossy was on your top 10.
It's an honorable mention.
There's one on the top, the quarterbacks available right now that I would love as a second quarterback. I don't know if you feel the same way, but.
Is it Woody Barrett?
I'm not going to draft a Kent State quarterback.
Julian Edelman was a Kent State quarterback, Bill.
Yeah, he's now a wide receiver.
Yeah, Super Bowl champion.
Fair enough. Thirst trap. But it's your team, Josh.
I know it's my team.
I think after he makes his pick, I'm going to say what I think you're thinking.
Okay.
See, I honestly...
It's your team, so if you want
to
go wide receivers, we can.
Yeah, I'm going to go wide receivers because I think I'll have a quarterback in my next pick.
Okay.
And here, I'm going to go T. Higgins.
That is a good...
That's a very good pick.
For a wide receiver three, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
So Josh's three wide receivers are now Tylan Wallace, CeeDee Lamb, and T. Higgins. So that's a... Great wide receiving core.
Were you thinking of Brock Purdy?
Damn right I was. Yes, I love Brock Purdy.
I think
I did look at him.
Yeah, I think that is a very solid pick. So let's see. Off the board from that was Trey Regis, J.K. Dobbins, B.J. Smith, Rico Bussey Jr., Antonio Golden Gandy. Or Gandy Golden, sorry.
Liberty.
Greg McRae, Jason Huntley, Larry Roundtree, Gerald Bright, Kalijah Lipscomb, Coxie DeMonte Jr., and Kirk Merritt.
And I was right that nobody was going to take a quarterback until it was my turn again. I will now take Brock Purdy.
Okay. We owe you this one, Josh. But it's also auto draft, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smart people.
I know.
We're going to say this repeatedly through this draft is that the computer's just drafting based on fantasy points accrued from last year. So they're using last year's data to pick. And so that's where they're sitting. Whereas in a real draft, I don't think defenses are going to go in the first three rounds at all.
Yep.
So that may be skewing us a little bit. So after Brock Purdy, Adrian Hardy went, it's back to me.
You have one more wide receiver spot to fill.
I have another wide receiver spot.
The intangibles. As I call them.
I have six picks to wait. So taking a quick look at the wide receivers here. One that sticks out to me would be JoJo Ward, another Hawaii wide receiver.
Yep.
But I see one right now that we all had or at least honorable mentions in our wide receiver episode, which is Henry Ruggs III out of Alabama. That is going to be my third wide receiver. I think again, in the seventh round, this is a good value for me.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So JJ Taylor went from Arizona. Sling it over to my team if you don't mind. It's now my pick.
You got a wide receiver slot.
Yep. I'll take Justin Ross out of Clemson.
That's a good pick.
Actually, take it back. Colin Johnson, Texas. I'd rather have him.
Okay. Okay. Any reason for the switch?
Justin Ross is the number two at Clemson. Colin Johnson's the number one.
Number one.
Sam Ehlinger is more prone to sling it than Trevor Lawrence is.
Okay.
So I think Johnson will get more targets, and he's a bigger play opportunity than Justin Ross is.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, I have to wait 6 picks and I'm back at it, so I'm not really that worried.
Well, 2 picks.
There we go. 6 divided by 3.
Yes.
Nailed it. All right. Can you go back to quarterbacks, please? I think I might fill my
super. Are you going
to
fill your flex here?
I might fill the super flex.
Okay.
Depending on what quarterbacks are available. Not a lot of great quarterbacks available at this point. Can you sling it to running backs, please? Because part of me wants to – I almost wonder if a really good running back in the super flex is just as good as an okay quarterback in the super flex. You know what? I don't know. Give me Zach Moss out of Utah.
Okay. So that's the guy I just highlighted?
Yes. I don't want the Navy quarterback.
Or running back. Because he's
both. He's the same.
Actually, in franchise, he does count for both positions.
That is huge.
So
I'll still take Zach Moss.
Okay.
Huh.
You think Zach Moss 8th round is too much of a reach?
No.
Okay.
No.
I mean, we're in the 8th round at this point.
Yeah.
There are a couple guys who I'm seeing at running back right now, and I'm
I really thought about getting Lavonte Bellamy.
That's who I'd see, and that's who I thought you were going to go with.
Yeah.
Oh, Jarrett Patterson was available. Crap. Okay. Well, we live and learn. There's still a lot of good running backs still here.
There is.
Yeah.
And this is the point, too. You guys are looking at bye weeks.
I have not paid any attention
to bye weeks. Who matches up with who?
I actually, for not looking at them, you're matching up pretty well, except for week 10. You're going to be out Justin Field, Jerry Jeudy, and Colin Johnson.
Well, you know, at that point, I'll have such a big lead in the – it won't really matter. Hold on to first seed.
Okay. So I'm sitting pretty good here.
Sick brag.
Thank you. And seeing that Jarrett Patterson fell to me.
I'm kicking myself for not picking him right now.
Seeing that slip up, I think I'm going to take advantage of it. And I'm not actually going to fill my flex position. I'm going to put him on my bench. I know I have a long wait, but I think that
that's a great pick.
That he's a good value at this position. So J.D. Spielman went off the board. Josh, is your pick.
Buffalo they lost so many pieces last year that I think Patterson is just going to be really important for them.
Can you go to my team real quick?
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Quick break before we finish?
Quick break. I got to pee real bad. I got to see where that damn cat went. so we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. Found the cat. Stuck to the back of the couch, as usual. Gotta trim those damn nails. So we are currently in the 8th round. Josh, you have the pick. You have a bit of a weight ahead of you. Where are you thinking?
AJ Dillon.
God. Just saw him. I was like, oh, please. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
There's still so many good running backs.
He matches up pretty well in my buys, too, because I got Jonathan Taylor's buys week 3, week 10, Patrick Taylor week 11 and 4, and his buys are 7 and 12, so all different bye weeks.
There you go.
Works out nice for me.
Oh, yeah. Oops.
You know, flex him or bench him?
Flex him.
Flex him.
Flex him. I can change it up if I had to.
All right.
Yeah.
So Darryl Mooney went, Ty Lee, JoJo Ward.
First kicker.
Kicker went. All right. Trey Sermon.
That's auto draft.
Kwon Baker, Jaden Reed, Riley Miller, KJ Osborne, Dominic Eberle, Corey Sutton, McLean Mannix, and Josh, you're back up.
Yeah, I'm going to take Levante Bellamy. Still on the board.
That's a good homer pick.
He will be on my bench. We'll figure it out, though.
Okay. So
Western Michigan, by the way.
Denzel Mims, who is one of my honorable mentions, still recovering from hand surgery, but still should be back on, went off the board ahead of me. So let me take a quick look at quarterbacks. Shea Patterson, Blake Barnett, Nate Stanley, James Morgan.
So you're definitely thinking quarterback for your super flex spot?
I'm thinking, but I'm also thinking a lot of these guys are going to be here. So I don't know if I want to reach right now.
Yeah.
Because, though then again, there's not a lot of – that wide receiver tier definitely shifted.
Yep.
And so now we're kind of in the unknowns or at least hot and cold guys. How are running backs doing?
Still very deep at running back.
Super deep.
It's pretty crazy. Guys who went up there right now, that what round are we in? 10? 9? 10?
9.
Yeah.
Ninth round. Who are you looking at?
Kennedy Brooks.
Well, when I'm looking at him, I'm already out of running backs already, but Juwan Washington, San Diego State.
Yeah. So this is another
good high on him.
I'm very high on him.
Yeah. This is another good point too. We are in the ninth round, and a lot of people right now are perhaps looking at defenses, like getting a good defense or, you know, just trying to fill their spots. Again, we reiterate, save it. Take flyers, take risks right now, because you can always change up your bench. And I'm going to be streaming defenses this year, so whoever I'm going to pick as a defense is irrelevant at this point. So let's see.
Chuba Hubbard, one of the best names in college football.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard, he's there. Let's just see. No.
We also have to still do tight ends. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Has anyone even, I don't think a tight end's been taken yet.
No.
Not even by the auto draft. I'd like to point out we're at 3.3 minutes and 49 seconds per pick.
Yeah, that's pretty
including
good.
Auto drafting, thanks to Keith.
It's not just thanks to me.
I usually have my picks lined up and ready to go.
You know, I'm going to pick up Malcolm Perry because I can slot him in essentially two spots right now. Matchup dependent, but.
Glad we shamed Keith into picking. That's a good pick, though.
That's where I'm going to slot him in. Brian Edwards, Bill, you are up.
My turn. Can you go to my roster, please? I want to see where I need to pick. So I have – oh, I do have a running back spot left. Let's go. Oh, I'm between two. James – or Juwan Washington, obviously number one. Max Borgi at Washington State, set to take over. He is a pass-catching machine out of the backfield as well. I'll take Borgi just because he can get more points catching the ball. He'll be way down
bottom
the bottom
screen.
There.
Oh, yeah.
Max Borgi.
Borgi.
Max Borgi.
Why'd you just say it again in the same way? So, Jared Pickney is our first tight end off the board.
Hey, welcome to the draft.
Bill, you're up again.
Well, I'm out of bench spots and everything, so I might as well go tight end.
What do you mean you're out of bench spots?
Yeah, four bench
spots. I have four bench spots left?
Yeah, we got like
seven. Oh, I didn't realize we're doing the entire draft.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
You
go back
pay
to
attention.
Give me Kennedy Brooks then. Oklahoma. No, don't. Sorry. I'm so excitable right now. I didn't plan this far in advance. Give me Darrington Evans, App State.
All right.
I'm going ham with running backs right now.
Uh, know, I'm just going to fill up another running back. I'm going to go Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma.
We're probably going to see a lot of tight ends come streaming off the board now.
Just because the autos. That's why I go to tight ends, please. Just because it is auto draft.
Rodrigo Blankenship left.
Yeah, no, never mind. Go back to receivers. We're going to go stick with wide receiver here. Start filling up the bench a little bit. I'm going to take Jalen Waddle. Wait, give me Jalen Waddle. Alabama.
So we got a little bit of weight, but at this point, the computer's just going to be kickers. Taking kickers.
KJ Hill. I was going to hope KJ Hill.
Gabriel Davis. More kickers.
Tight end.
Yeah. Oh, there's. Yikes.
Everyone's going tight end.
So this is the tricky part. Looking back. After we do this exercise, our teams are going to look great, except for the tight end position.
Yeah.
All right, I guess go to tight ends. Might as well join the party.
After all the good ones are gone?
Yeah. I'm going to take – I don't know a ton about the tight end slot in college. So I'm going to take the best available on this, which is Cheyenne O'Grady.
That name doesn't even sound real.
No, it doesn't. For Arkansas. Okay. He's the newest member of my team, so.
Welcome.
Welcome to Cheyenne O'Grady.
Okay. So.
Keith's got wide receivers pulled up here.
Yep.
With three running backs on his bench and no super flex yet.
No super flex yet.
I might just zig when everyone zags and just, rather than doing tight end, just keep doing running backs.
I'm not looking at tight ends at all. I'm not going to get flexed on by the draft, but I am going to go with Donovan's people Jones. Depending on how that new offense works out, I just think he's a 11th round pick. I think he's a good one for me. So let us look at your team, Bill.
Yep.
Where are you thinking?
Let's see. I have four running backs. I should probably do a wide receiver right now for the bench. Bless you.
Thank you.
I'll take TJ Vasher out of Texas Tech down at the bottom of the screen there.
Okay.
Obviously, we know a lot about Texas Tech. I think what he lacks in volume, he'll make up for in explosiveness,
mm-hmm.
being at Texas Tech. So,
okay.
Also, first year
head coach. I don't know what to expect.
Kicker defense went off the board.
Sling it back to running backs up there for me, please. Stevie Scott, Indiana.
All right.
I really like him. I think 12th round is a good.
I think that's a great pick.
Good spot for him.
I think that's a great pick.
Because he'll be great, Indiana's playing Rutgers this week. Slot him in the starting lineup.
So back to me. I'm going to take another quarterback here and fill up that super flex. So for me, I'm thinking – Is Jamar Smith still with the team? I can't remember.
I would imagine so. That's why he...
Though an interesting pick right here would actually be FIU. But seeing him here and knowing his legs, I'm taking...
And Jamar Smith is still with Louisiana Tech.
I'm taking Shea Patterson. As my super flex.
All right, go to my team real quick because I'm going to also go quarterback. I just got to find out the buys. Trevor Lawrence, week 6, week 13. Brock Purdy, 2-10. And I am going to take James Morgan from Florida International.
I think that's a good pick.
Yeah. Backup, put him in if I have to at some point.
I think that's a really good pick. All right, so defense is going off the board. Mississippi State, Blake Barnett, Cincinnati's defense. Nate Stanley's off. Utah State's defense. Utah's defense. Florida's defense. Michigan State's defense. Troy's defense. Auburn. Washington. Woody Barrett. Back to you, Josh.
Back to me. Can you go? Let's go to running backs. I'm going to try to take one more running back here from my bench. At this point in time, man. Yeah, I don't know. Good receivers, quick. Do I need a backup tight end?
No.
No.
Go week by week. Okay, I'm going to take Keith Corbin from Houston.
Okay.
Number two guy there.
So Marcus Childers went off the board. I have one more bench spot available, and then I have to draft the
intangibles.
The intangibles. There's not a lot of people I'm seeing right now, wide receiver wise, that I want to take a draft, like take up a draft pick. I'm actually going to go. See if there's any QBs I can pick up just to mess with everybody's head. See if there's maybe a. No, not really. Running backs. I have enough running backs.
Still a lot of good running backs out there, though.
If I didn't have as many running backs as I did, I actually would probably look at Mohamed Ibrahim from Minnesota.
That's what I was thinking, too.
And take a flyer on him.
Either him or Chuba.
Yeah. I think they're both very good picks.
Holden Ahlers out of East Carolina is getting a lot of hype as a big fantasy guy this year, for what that's worth.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't get 2,000 yards last year, only threw three interceptions, though, and got six touchdowns through the ground. Yeah. Why not? I'm going to take a flyer him. Everybody's hurting that QB. I can always use it as trade bait.
So Jamar Smith went off the board.
Is Jared Dodge immediately eligible?
For Bowling Green?
Transferred to West Virginia.
Oh. Oops.
I don't know if he's immediately eligible, though.
All right.
No, he's not. He's not. He's not.
I have... Oh, geez. Cue back to running backs.
Yeah.
I have so many running backs, but there's just so many good ones that I want. I'll take Chuba Hubbard. Bottom of the screen there again. 13th round.
Your first Oklahoma State pick. Congratulations.
Number one guy at Oklahoma State this year.
Yeah.
Give me that.
I think it's great value.
Fake fan.
Bill, so you only have your tight end, kicker, and defense.
Fine. Show me defenses.
Team defense.
Oh, there's still a lot of really good defenses out there.
Yep.
All right, let's go to tight end. Grant Calcaterra, Oklahoma. Dunn and Dunner.
There you go. I'm also going to take a tight end here. You know, I'm actually a little bit afraid that I overvalued quarterbacks. And on second thought, I'm not at all. Is that
it's tight end quarterback Central Michigan?
Wow,
is that sounds like is that real? Is that,
take him.
Do it.
Okay, because this is a weird thing, and it's for my alma mater. So yeah, let's do a weird thing. Josh, it's your pick.
Who'd you just take for the listeners?
Tony Poljean.
All right, yep. Let's go running back for the last slot with the running back. My last bench spot. And then I probably have to draft a kicker. I am going to take Muhammad Ibrahim.
Yeah.
From Minnesota, fill up my bench.
Yeah, I think that's a good flyer.
And then when it gets back to me, Keith, why don't you pull up kickers? We'll see what we have.
Army's defense, Iowa State's defense, LSU's defense, Penn State's defense, TCU's defense.
I'm not taking a Big 12 defense.
Georgia Southern's defense, Stephen Calvert, Notre Dame's defense.
Oh, that's actually awesome for defense.
Boston College. Well,
John Wassing.
Still going to make plenty of good defenses out
Allen.
There.
Okay, let's go to defense. I don't really.
I like how Josh didn't even bother with that last name. Just Allen.
Allen Bauman. Washington State's defense? I'm not taking Washington State's defense.
You are?
No.
No.
I'm going to go. Give me Ohio State's defense.
Okay.
Because you know that at least 1 week against Michigan, they'll be good. And that'll be probably playoff time, so hopefully.
They did allow 39 points to Michigan last year.
I
know it was garbage time, but fans doesn't care about garbage time.
I'm going to go with Virginia's defense. Because I like Virginia's.
Bill. That you do. Give me A&M's defense.
All right. And then back to you. I think you only have kicker left, right?
Yeah, I do.
Let's go kicker.
Let's go kickers. Let's
go kickers.
Me, Pat McAfee. Jeez. I mean.
Take your pick. There's plenty.
Give me the Oklahoma State kicker because Oklahoma State just scores a bunch, and so he'll get a lot of kicks. Matt Amendola.
Using that same logic, I'm going to go taking Texas kicker, Cameron Dicker. He's going to dick her down.
For using that logic, I'm not going to take Wake Forest kicker.
Okay.
I'm going to go Seth Small from Texas A&M. Or Evan McPherson from Florida.
Yeah, that does it.
That's the draft.
That is. How are you guys feeling?
I like my team a lot.
I like your team, too.
Thank you.
I like my team.
I think
my wide receiver core is solid.
If you can save the round-by-round picks, we can analyze it and talk in more in-depth next week about picks we liked and stuff like that. It gives a little content. We can have time to digest.
Okay.
If that works for you.
Yeah. Draft has been completed. Yeah. I think that's it, unless you guys have anything else.
No.
Nope, not today.
Good here.
Good here?
I am good here. Oh. Yeah.
Good here.
Yeah,
got it.
I'm good here in this seat.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for joining us again. We will be back next week.